June 14, 2023. It's a Watch for Pedro show.
Shrednivashta went forth. His thoughts were red thoughts, and his teeth were white. His enemies called for peace, but he brought them death. Shrednivashta the beautiful. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. We start off with John Coltrane doing another live excerpt from Body and Soul. This is one of the earliest recordings of the quartet, actually trio. Well, they got Reggie Workman on bass. They haven't found Jimmy yet, Jimmy Garrison. Imaginary Beings after that with Shreddy Vashtar, which is a remix of Jet and Bach's Somnophobia. Somnambulist. Is that Sleepwalker? Yeah, maybe. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Scott invention, I got with me once again Richard Fent. Welcome back aboard. So glad to have you back.
Hello, Mike. Glad to be back.
Yeah. So, since we last talked, what's up?
Oh, well, I've been quite busy with Randolph from the museum, doing a few other little bits there, and I've been
By the way, he's going to be on the show 1 week from today.
That's right, yes. I might be there too. You never know. We'll see. But, yeah, so we've been planning a few little projects, and I've been desperately trying to clear a logjam of tracks I've got in sort of stuck in pre-mastering and editing stage, where I've been productive and produced about 50 hours of material, and then rather than sitting down and actually doing the boring bit, carry on producing at the moment. So being creative.
That's good news, though.
Getting distracted again. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, which brings us to something we were talking off air, people. Bring it.
Well, I recently found out that I'm neuroatypical, I think is the American term, or neurodiverse in the UK. So a lot of what I'm going to talk about now is retrospectively now makes a lot more sense than it did at the time. But it's the concept and the fact that music and that way to express myself has been integral in my very being and being able to keep my mental health, you know, above board most of the time. And without that, would have been very, very difficult. And given that it's so integral, I wanted to talk about that with you as a different aspect of, you know, musical creation and composition, and even how we hear music. Because I think the way my brain filters and hears music and sound differs to a lot of people's.
Okay.
And that in itself is quite an interesting concept.
Right. Right. Well, just personally, I want to tell you, music for me has been a total lifeline, so I think I can relate some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I don't know if music attracts those who have mental health struggles or have experienced them in the past, or vice versa, but I know an awful lot of people, and I've even done a project containing nothing but tracks from artists who have been struggling with their mental health, especially through the pandemic and COVID, and for me, it's the sort of like neuroatypicality can be a very isolating thing, with a very little in way of common ground for, you know, people to build relationships with me about. But music, as long as you're really into music like you are, we can sit here and talk for hours about things, and you won't hopefully get bored. Whereas most people I meet get bored within about 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah,
and then
I
don't pick up on that, and then you just become the bore going on about Captain Beefheart, who nobody's even heard of. But, so it's always been very important for me, that link with other people, because it's, you know, we get a bit of a Venn diagram crossover with music. And,
you're talking about, like, music as a fabric to connect minds and individual personas.
Exactly that, yeah, that sort of, not common language, because we don't need the long, but that commonality, everyone over the world can hear the same bit of music, and we can relate there, you know, even if we can't speak the same language.
Yeah, that's why I said fabric, because you're right, music, because there's three components, basically, is my understanding: rhythm, harmony, melody. So you don't... that becomes like the roots of the language.
Mm. Indeed so, and Burroughs, William Burroughs said, have you ever read Word Virus, his book about the language?
I've read of it, but I have to still read it.
Oh, it is heavy going, to be fair, Mike. It is heavy going, but it's really interesting because he touches on that very thing, that language ultimately grows out of the in utero sound of the heartbeat, which expounding on the theory is why music's generally done in a regular 4/4 beat, because we're so attuned to that, and then, you know, any irregular or atypical beat structures and things like that can throw people off, you know, like 3/4 structure, and even more with a lot of experimental music where there is no standard structure. So, you know, that's interesting. It goes back to our very formation as a physical being. The first thing we're exposed to would be, as you say, that fabric of sound.
Right. And, well, you know, we lost a drummer man, Milford Graves, right? He had this idea of, mm-hmm. of the pulse. So not so much the metronome. So sort of like the tides, like they can get quicker and slower depending on the kind of the mood or
mm-hmm.
the environment, you know, the temperament of the sitch.
There you go. Yeah, perfect. Somebody's been there and done it better than me. The pulse, but lovely. Yeah, like you say, that change in rhythm.
Right. Elvin Jones talked about this, why people found it hard to play with him, because, yeah, he would get emotional and that would get its way into music, and they wanted some kind of clock. That's how people had problems with him. There's a great documentary you can see on YouTube called A Different Drummer, and he talks about this.
I'll note that down. Lovely. Yeah, because I used to find the same with music. I never used to be able to stand. I couldn't even really stand people being in the same room as me, let alone collaborating, whereas now I quite enjoy a sort of like online, like male collaborations, as it were, you know. But we're not posting dats anymore. We're emailing.
Well, what's his J.P. Sartre quote? Hell is other people.
That is true. That is true. I have to say.
But then he tried to explain that later. I was reading about that quote because, you know, without context, fuck, you could use that to beat anybody over the head with. But mm-hmm. He was saying, because they know you. You can't escape their knowledge of you.
That's exactly it.
So that's not really, you know what I mean? It's kind of, yeah, a little duplicit there.
Yeah, and I think the very interaction, you know, that's implicit by the knowing of other people is that I think was more his thrust at that, wasn't it? It's that, like you say, duplicity, but take it out of context and, it is, can be thought of as quite a brutal statement, but exactly so. But,
I think it's from No Exit, right? It's a part of the play, it's some dialogue.
Mm.
What's this Proj OTP? I want to play this. You gave me this, Shrinell 18X. Very cryptic.
I picked that one because it's one of the easier titles to pronounce, because that's actually produced through random logarithms, the titles. But that's a project I... Oh, sorry, go on.
No, that's a great way to come up with titles. Let's listen.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Start off that chunk of music with OTP, Chanel 18X. Brand new from Troposphere 7 after that, Posse. Then we had Scotty Irvin and Brett H. Hart, Monterey Manatee. Big vegetarian sea mammals, people. Beautiful. Josiah Tayac Catalan with Sages. Garden. Sages Garden, sorry. The Garden of the Sages, let's say. And this is from that, you guys, that festival that was in Eugene. I know Randolph was part of it in person. And this too, Porteus 2, Everywhere and Everything Right Now, Nolan Hildebrand. Finally, this is a good project name, Basic Tape Loops. Pretty self-explanatory. And Dolotov Loop 3. To continue with mental health.
Yes, so, OTP, sorry. Yeah, that's a collaboration I do with Vincent, an artist from France, and he does modular synthesis. Proper, you know, plugging all the leads in and that, whereas, as we've spoken about before, I'm strictly from the Delia Derbyshire school of doing things, so... Yeah, right. Since an accountant's not my favorite things, but
remember she got so bummed out she quit fucking music.
That's it. Yeah. The Delaware synth and accountant, yeah. BBC accountants, yeah. And she went and worked as a radio operator for British Gas in Northern England on some pipeline schemes, which is
Do you think that she had challenges with mental health?
I would think definitely so.
Yeah, and, from reading about her story in All the Silent Years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and have you heard the radio interview she did with Radio Scotland in the mid-80s?
Where yes, I did.
Yeah, and there's, I think to me, clear indication that she was really struggling with the drink at that point as well.
Right, liquor, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that the inherent misogyny she faced all the time as well.
Absolutely.
That's got to grind you down, hasn't it?
Uh-huh.
That sort of thing. So
it might have made reinforced this heavy thing on the synths. She might have mm-hmm. thought it was more patriarchy.
Exactly, and I think it was foisted on them by the people who just wanted it for financial reasons, which, obviously for her artistically didn't sit very well. But, and that's where Basic Tape Loops comes from, actually. That's one of my newer pseudonyms outlets, but that's all produced using actual...
And do you got the fucking tape going around doorknobs and chairs, legs of chairs and shit like that?
Not physically these days. A lot of them are very old recordings, and most of them are actually off mini disc now. But obviously digitally, I can do very much the same. But it's that sort of thing. But the longest one was 800 odd feet, wasn't it?
Crazy. Really incredible. I mean, beautiful. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, June 14th, 2020. Dish what? Peter's your special guest, Rich Fenton. Hold tight for hour two. June 14th, 2023. It's the second hour of What for Peter's Show.
Children were to be laid to rest together. The little ones were not to rest for an hour or two, and then go out to play. It was their last rest of all. As though reproaching the cruelty that had no mercy for their tender years, they were to lie within sight of it. Wreaths and posies that came from all over the world were laid in the form of a huge cross. It seemed to say that the ways of Providence are beyond the understanding of men and women. No use to ask why are the children to die. On the threshold of life was taken from them. Minister of Aberdeen represented the three churches, the chapels of Wales. And there was the Bishop of Llandaff, and also the Roman Catholic Archbishop of Cardiff, and one who has already done so much, the Mayor of Merthyr Tydfil. My eyes kept wandering to that model of the school in flowers, the school in which they died. I couldn't help thinking, time and again, that if the slide had been an hour earlier, Abba Van would still hear the laughter of little children. It somehow seemed right that it should be so bitterly cold. The family happiness has gone from Abba Van. I prayed that the years might pass quickly until laughter and joy return to this valley of sorrows.
Climb. mouth of a lake, in the shadow of a mountain. You wonder, is anybody out here even counting? As the days they turn to years, you find that you're still here, still staring in the Thank you.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Malady and Knots and Fence Post doing the piece Agreed, Aberfan. Ben Shemmy after that with the Mirror. Noisuka, brand new, blessing. And then Fence Post. Fence Post alone, people. PNAF Configuration 4. Please enlighten us to Fence Post.
Fence Post is a bit of an anomaly in my history, and it's the only pseudonym that I've had going constantly since I started making music about 20 years ago, and on music concrete parameters. So every source for all the Fence Post work used to be a field recording of something or other. But I've relaxed my own rules recently. The PNAF configurations one, that's actually sourced from viola, violin, and then alioteric voice, lady sort of, I don't want to say wailing because that's got bad connotations, but sort of that, like that tonal chanting, a bit Wagnerian sort of opera.
Yeah,
style.
Wailing is more of a gnashing of teeth.
Exactly, yeah. That reminds me of, Banshees and Foggy Nights. But which is an awful thing to say because she's got a lovely voice. But, sort of tonal singing, I suppose, tonal clusters.
What was the first piece that you did as Fence Post?
The first piece was actually called Ajar, which I sent you the remix version of. That I did in 2016.
We're going to play it on the next chunk of music.
Mm-hmm. And that's a Fence Post. It's is also the link to my first incarnation as a musician. As I say, it's the only survival. Because,
right. And you were by yourself. It was an ensemble. That's man alone, right?
Mm. Exactly. And my mum died, and that caused that. A huge problem for my mental health, and what I think we now know in retrospect was a period of like autistic overload. They call it meltdown, but I don't think that's a very nice phrase. It's a bit of a disparagement in that, you know, meltdown reminds me of nuclear reactors and volcanoes. It's an awful thing. It's more like a tsunami of sort of information is the only way I can. Your brain just utterly consumed, and so I then stopped making music for a long time until I met Sarah. So I had a 15-year, what turned out to be a hiatus, and Sarah, over a period of years, encouraged me to start again. And that remix of Ajar was the first song I did when I started again, because it had been the first song I did as the Fence Post.
I fucked that up. I should have played that first, but.
Oh, no.
But we got to hear it, you know. Mm-hmm. Be it may, it's all still Fence Post. And Fence Post is kind of like a big tent, right? You can do anything you want.
I'm quite rigid in my structured thinking and set myself up the boundaries that it has to be field recordings and that. But then, recently I sort of relaxed my own boundaries. I did a lot of prepared piano work.
And fucking Randolph says he's bringing me some Fence Post.
There we go, then.
Okay. What I did was I ran him by these titles. I said, no duplication, I think I wrote in quotes, duplication, let's avoid a duplication of services.
Mm-hmm.
He said, don't worry, they're different.
Fence Post is also the link, my initial link to the museum.
Okay, that makes total sense. It's all connected, people.
It is all connected. It all goes round, doesn't it?
But let's listen, since we're talking about Ajar. Let's listen to it.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show, that chart of music started off Fence Post doing 20 a jar 16. Then we had brand new from Florian Kupfer, Valiant, Guerrilla de Dientes entre los Arboles. This is Luis Fernandos Amaya. He was on the show, but this is his piece from that Eugene Festival. And then finally, Fence Post with Jack Requiem. Part one? Number one?
That's right, yeah, number one.
Okay. Roman numeral one? Yeah. Yeah, I was talking with Greg Turner, you know, because he teaches calculus. He's on a show recently. And how did the Romans do that? You know, multiply and divide and build that stuff. He says, Romans? What about the Babylonians?
Yeah. Cuneiform.
No, but the idea of such monumental building, and you don't have the math yet. And you know, maybe with music it's like that too. Some people, well, you can't get there until you have this certain set of skill functions. But I don't know. You said, like, there's some innate stuff, inherent stuff, like coming, you're listening to your ma's heart.
I think so. And to sort of appropriate a quote from Alan Moore, who we've spoken about before. He
great writer, man. Yeah.
And a beautiful thing that he said is that magic is the paleontology of science. And if you think about that, said that we can apply that to music as well. I think, can't we? Because
absolutely,
we're never without.
Also, Nikola Tesla with the resonance thing, you know, AC and radio waves and all that, and that's got a big music connect.
Definitely so, and then on to theremin.
Right, absolutely.
So yeah, again, it all goes round, doesn't it?
Yeah, which, you know, should be kind of a source of some. I mean, see, to be bold and creative, you got to take chances. But then there's some, you know, lifelines, life buoys, about, you know, which I think makes music conducive for mental health.
Mm.
Even though it puts you out on the limb to try dare and you got to expose things, it's still there for you to hang on, so you don't have to take the big plunge. As far as falling and hurting yourself.
That's right. There's always that sense of a bit of a safety net.
Yeah. And then, you know, the idea of collapse and getting outside of your own mind in a healthy way, you know, a creative way.
Oh, definitely. So, definitely. For me, it's one of the few things that, as I was saying about that sort of information overload.
But also, you know, we said there's a lot. You brought up the situation in isolation, and as far as music goes, one thing that isolation does when you trade those mini discs or like we did over the internet with files, you do get free of that hierarchy dilemma when humans get in the same room with each other.
Oh, then, and that's the area I struggle with most of all, to be honest.
Yeah, like who's going to wear the pants, right?
Oh, exactly.
Fuck that shit. No, exactly. But I don't. Another question I ask besides titles a lot is like with improv music scene, who goes first? I'm always interested in that question.
Yeah, well, I've always worked alone. Never been in a band or anything. I didn't. I've got no sort of like musical training background. I used to. I used to take things apart and put them back together as a child and listen to hours of sort of like a radio static and just run out of records. And so I've always been fascinated with sound. And then I got a knackered old Alba tape deck. Do you remember those sort of like all-in-ones with a record player on the top? But the tape head, the recording head was on its way out, so you could record over a tape, but you couldn't actually blank out what was previously on it, so it was like crude, as I found out then, multi-track overdubbing, like a sort of King Tubby, but that was years before I knew that. But as a child, I'd make these sort of like strange little mixtapes without ever having heard like tape loop music or anything like that. And then
I think ensembles gain by having individual research like that.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? You got to have some of that to have the ensemble. Or you have a collection of, you know, same-os.
That's exactly it, yeah. And what could be more boring than that?
Right, yeah. Military, right? Shit. Mm. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. June 14, 2023, this is what Pepito Show special guest Richard Fett and hold tight for hour three. June 14, 2023, third hour. What? Pedro Show.
Real rock music is nothing more than satanic science. Get it out of your house. Throw it out. It has no place in the house of the light. When you read books about witchcraft, the occult, horoscopes, you're opening the gates of your mind to the Prince of Darkness. All that's left is hell itself.
Yeah! Satan.
Yeah. Watch for Pedro show. Start off third hour. Relay Station. Another interesting way of naming your projects and your pieces. Crossfeed 4. After that, we had the Bromley Symphony Orchestra featured the Underwood Piano Harlequin Quartet with Thin Cities and Armia from Italo Calvino's Invisible Cities. Finally, Polavokes with Satanic Cyanide. I think we played Polavokes, right?
Mm, yeah, Alex was on. He's
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, he's the other half of Polavokes.
That's right. That's right. And that's an interesting. You guys got more stuff coming?
Yes. We're currently got the new project underway, which is a bit more proto techno, like the last one that we've done, and Spider Baby dialogue from the film. Back to my love of old B movies and taking dialogue and that. So. That's right. Underway. I'm hoping to have it ready for mastering by the end of the month, and then back over to Alex, fingers crossed. So that shouldn't be too long.
And, you know, Relay Station. Is this around the same time as, like, the basic tape loop?
Relay Station, that predates basic tape loops.
Okay.
By a few years, but that's that's all through the medium of radio. I've just recently lost, but I had a brilliant mic from the 70s which would broadcast over a short distance straight to FM radio.
Oh, I remember those. We had a toy here called Mr. Microphone.
That's the kind of thing, yeah.
But so, it was also a way where you could like use your AM radio in your car, you know, to.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And I'd broadcast from one bit of the workshop into the an old portable radio and then record that. That's sort of the Relay Station, hence the name.
Oh, okay. And that's how you could get that aesthetic, that sound, that feel.
Exactly. That nice older. Because analog radio's never been so good for me because now nobody's, well, few people are broadcasting on it. All the really interesting things.
Yeah.
All the noises on that that crossfeed. There's a lot of sort of like EQing and.
What about ham? Were you ever into ham?
Not really. No.
Because Greg Ginn, the guy who got SST Records going, and I'm convinced that's his connection with Torin, because he was talking to people in other lands, other towns.
Of course, yeah. Yeah. No, I remember my cousin had a CB. He's a little older than I am. But there was a bit of a craze in the UK, but it sort of came and went, I think, before I was sort of old enough to, you know, be aware of it, as it were.
Yeah, it was two different things. CB was like only 5 watt citizen band here. But the ham could be big-ass amps, but it required a lot more to get a license. Well, you didn't need a license for CB, but you did for ham radio.
That's right, yeah. No, someone in the village did have a big aerial that I grew up in, so that must have been ham, but...
The village? Were you a fan of The Prisoner?
Oh, I know. That's another thing where we have a big Venn diagram, the village, and Sarah's a massive fan of the village.
Yeah,
as
I've
well.
Seen all 17 episodes 1,000 times each. One of my journeys, besides, you know, getting people involved with making music, is fucking watching those 17 shows. I mean, they're incredible in some ways. Yeah, a lot of insights. And talk about struggling with sanity. Well, they keep trying to use psychological things to break him.
Exactly so. And Danger Man as well.
Right. Well, I think they're kind of connected. I think actually, because that was his show. Prisoner, so he's getting revenge on the people who made that Danger Man.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a clear narrative link there, but I know they never confirmed it, but they never denied it. But brilliant piece of some sort of artwork going on there, but especially the last one.
Fallout. Yeah. Well, they're letting you know the whole thing, the whole time, who's who. And then it makes it obvious there when he pulls the monkey mask off that cat. Here's another number title. 2X, 2I. No, 2L. 2X, 2L. Unredactable. No, unredacted. Let's listen. fuck. My pops was like, boy, you fuck up a two-car cracker funeral. Oh, I'm so sorry. You think after 22 years I'd get this?
Well, thanks to Al calling Six Hills. Thanks to Al calling Six Hills. Thanks to Al calling 8XVR. Come in, please. To X the Wild calling Six Hills, to X the Wild calling 8XVR, come in please. To 8XVR, coming back at 2X2L. As reception. As reception. Hey, please.
Bob for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. The Wyndham Research Institute with Unredacted 2X2L. That started off that chunk. Then Bombus Brendan, Chicken Scratch Fanfare. Finally, the Nothing Ones. And this is an edit, TNO2, Part 1. I don't think I know about Nothing Ones.
That's another of my collaborations, this time with one of my friends called Harold from Austria. He plays all the guitar and records under several names. But, he likes his sort of like prog and drone and things like that. And so it's quite an interesting way. That's our second project. But again, because of lack of any imagination when it comes to titles, it's called 2.0 because the first one was called 1.0. So...
Right, and it's not all of 2.0, because, right, it's part one. There's another part, I guess.
That's right, yeah. It's a two-part album, and each piece is about 20, 24 minutes long.
And I assume he went first?
No, I went first.
Oh, and, okay. See what happens? My pop said that word ain't spelled by accident, you know? Right. He thought there was like some magic, right? You make an ass out of you and me.
Exactly. So, but
I wasn't going to argue with him.
Yeah, quite hard.
I mean,
to
there's
get
a, there's a
one.
Lesson to be learned, of course.
Definitely so. Yeah. And yeah, so it's one of the ones I enjoy doing. We've only done two albums together. But it's another nice discipline to try and sort of make music to support, because. Yeah, most of mine's the low end and sort of like the more industrial side of
right.
things. And all the guitars and everything, that's purely Harold. I'm terrible on the guitar.
That's all right. We can't all be on bass either. Well, you can.
No, true enough.
Remember
that's a little bit. There's only four strings there.
I think they all get on bass for a big bottom in Spinal Tap movie. What about Wyndham Research Institute?
That's a collaboration with a friend of mine called James, who lives in Sweden. And again, we started doing a collaboration. It was originally themed around Chocky, the John Wyndham novel, because we're both fans of that sort.
Oh, okay. So the internet's a pretty interesting tool you use for collabs.
Definitely. And it goes back to... talking of the rough chronology, by the time I was sort of in my late teens, and I'd like been making mixtapes and got some decks, and you know, used to use pop socks. Do you have those, like the little tight socks in America? They're like the ladies' tights, but they're only sock lengths. But you can tie one of those around a belt drive get some interesting results. So I did, and that pushed me into going to the music college in Leeds.
Yeah.
And that's when things really opened up for me, because a little sort of like loose collaborative, I think much like you'd have experienced, you know, that sort of like right time at the right place. And I just suddenly surrounded by like-minded people. They'd just started a monthly event, and it was the first one the weekend I got there, and I just walked past the cafe it was in, and I heard Ortec. And I was like, oh, bloody hell, and went in there. And then they were all sort of mentors to me. So I always say to people, I was sort of raised by wolves. So that's the same... set of ethics that I hold now with all these collabs and all my associations, like, you know, with Tom doing the same thing who you had on last week, Niacinamide,
right,
you know, setting
right.
up a label and, you know, offering a bit of support to other artists and that. And that's the only way I know how to work. But I think the biggest difference between us and you was when we made the odd mistake. We got tutted at by a bunch of affluent young middle class students rather than getting batteries or that condoms. That's thrown at us, you know, we got tight.
Use condoms.
I know, I couldn't believe that story. Dirty bastards.
Somebody put some labor into that.
I know, the planning, that's where the evil lies, in the planning. I don't know if you were the specific target.
Because we hadn't been the first time Minuteman had been in Vienna, you know? So, hey, welcome. Hey, by the way, we prepared a surprise for you.
Yeah, it's the city of the third man, have that. But yeah, unbelievable.
The third man, right. They were expecting zithers, but we brought him D. Boone on the guitar. D. Boone got a whole cup of piss in the face. Oh, man, I remember it was the first note of the first tune. The power went off. Yeah. But anyway, like Ishmael said, you know, live to tell the tale. I'm interested in when you get these things that are underway done, will you come back on the show? We can play them and talk about them?
Oh, any time, yeah. I mean, there's quite a few on back and medium burners as well. So
okay, yeah. I got a tour coming up, but like in November, let's do it.
Definitely. Well, yeah, we'll get something arranged, and I'll definitely have something new to play then, and yeah, we can get it arranged after the tour.
Right, and talk more about music and mental health. I think it's important.
Definitely, yeah, any time.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we got
no problem.
We keep on keeping on, don't we?
We do, and if you're not careful, I'll speak to you next week. So,
big love. People, June 14, 2023, you just swap Pigo, she'll keep you. Ah!